buddy, we got a tea time for 12 o'clock Saturday. Those three things have a common denominator is time. I saw a thing the other day online that said the average person can look at their phone or their watch or the clock 15 to 20 times a day. Everything in our world is related to time, whether it's sunrise to sunset in hours, someone's birth to their passing in years. And through the ages, men have developed different ways to keep time. So now you can measure a microsecond up to a millennia. Now, time, like everything else, was created by God. And it should be used for His plan and used according to His will. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 is a well-known passage about time. I'm just going to read the first couple verses. There's appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Now, the point I think Solomon was trying to get across to us is no matter the situation or season we find ourselves in, whether in good times or bad, God's purpose or plan for us doesn't change. And in being within the structure of time like we are, we can have be difficult to comprehend eternity. Eternity's endless. But we know from God's word that He is eternal. In Psalms chapter 90, the 90th Psalm, in verse 2, it says, the psalmist says, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So eternity is endless, but time is measured with a beginning and an end. Now the beginning is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There will also be an end. We don't know exactly when that will be, but God's word tells us it's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching the multitude, and He's teaching them in parables. And when He finished teaching them, the apostles asked for Him to explain the parable of the tares. And in verse 37, He explains what the good seed is, the Son of Man, what the field represented, field being the world, and in verse 39 was that the harvest was the end of the world. So we know there's going to be an end in Christ's return. And in His return will signal the end of a few different things. Number one being time as we know it will be no more. In the Gospel of John in chapter 6, Jesus is telling the people that He is the bread of life. And in verse 44, He says, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And also in that same chapter, in verse 54, He says, "He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and will raise him up on the last day." Something else that will be no more is the universe itself. And we know this from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10, Peter writes, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works shall be burned up." But the most important thing that will end will be the opportunity for salvation. So now think about the songs that have been sung and the passages that have been read. How we use our time says a lot about what's in our heart, how well we obey God, how faithful we are to Him and His Word, and how we use our time on earth will have a direct impact on the reward we'll receive in heaven. Tonight, you have no better time and opportunity than right now to obey His word. If you have, but you slipped, and you need the congregation's prayers, you can do so right now while we stand and sing.